The difference between heaven and hell is persistence. The value of persistence was highlighted recently in the news. In fact, this was some time ago. There was, out in the Gulf of Mexico, a small boat that was out in the storm, and there were professional football players that were caught out in the storm. Their boat capsized, and they were hanging on for dear life. One of them survived. He hung on, kept hanging on, and until help arrived. But the other just relaxed his grip, let himself go out to sea, and he was never to be seen again. Persistence caused one to be rescued and the other to be lost. If you fail to learn persistence, you're going to fail to get into heaven, because persistence is required in the Christian life. We need to remember to focus on possibilities, not circumstances. Those that were out on that ship that was overturned, they could barely hang on. One of them thought about his circumstances and let go. The other thought about possibilities. Maybe someone will come and find me. We need to remember the power of God. And this is a good place for us to remember a man by the name of Abraham. I know we're all familiar with Abraham, but let's focus on Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Abraham was given some promises. All those promises sounded good. He was an elderly man with no children, and he wanted children. And his wife was on up there in years, and it didn't look like she would ever have any children. But God promised your ancestors, your descendants, that is, are going to number as the sands of the sea. How can you see that it's going to happen? Circumstances were, it's not going to happen. But the possibilities were that God is the one that promised. We need to look at the possibilities rather than the circumstances. Romans 4, verses 17 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. For against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was able also to perform. Those are the possibilities. When God makes a promise, he can make that promise good. When we think about Christian persistence, we also need to remember others who have gone on before. I remember back to my childhood, and I used to watch the Olympics all the time. Olympics come up now, and I don't even watch 1 minute, I think. But back then, that was during the summer, that was all that was on. And so, of course, you watched the Olympics. Do you remember Vasily Alexeyev? This great Russian bear of a man who went up to a bar and lifted it up over his head. It seemed like it was nothing. But there's something about Vasily Alexeyev that you ought to know. He was the first one to lift, to clean and jerk over 500 pounds. It was thought to be impossible. It's one of those barriers, kind of like the 4-minute mile, that people thought, you'll never be able to do that. No one will ever be able to. And of course, Alexeyev was flirting with it. He was 499, he was 499 and a half, and one day his trainer just loaded up enough to where it would be 500 and just a little bit. Didn't tell Alexeyev, and Alexeyev went up to the bar, and he cleaned and jerked just like normal, and then they said, count it up. He was over 500 pounds. You know what happened after that? That formerly unbreakable barrier, it went down. Went down like a cheap fence. It went down so hard that it was broken by just about every other top weightlifter within the year. It was gone. You know what the world record is now? It's over 580 pounds. 580 people lift it over their heads. It's an amazing thing. What was once impossible, or thought to be impossible, is now possible. Because someone did it. And you think something is hard in your life, you remember back to people in the Bible, or people you have known before that have been there. People that have faced those that were harsh about their beliefs against the gospel. People that were sent to jail because of their beliefs. People that had to suffer privation because of the things that they believed. It's been done. And so we have to come to the conclusion, we can do it too. If that's what God requires of me, that's what I'll be able to do. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us about our focus. We are in a race, and it's a long race for some of us. We're going to have to go on for decades longer. Some, it will be over sooner, but for the most part, we're going to be on this earth for a little bit. And what should our focus be? Should it be upon the problems of life, or should they be on the possibilities? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's interesting knowing that the book of Hebrews was written to Christians that were going in danger of going back to Judaism. They had become Christians, but now they were being persecuted a bit for their faith, and so they were thinking, well, let's go back. Let's go back to what we once had. Kind of like the Israelites leaving Egypt and suffering privation, or what they thought was, and said, why don't we go back to Egypt? We had it so good there. But the focus is this. The focus is on the one who was sacrificed for us before we even thought about having any problems in our life. The focus is Jesus. Look at what he did for us. And let's not think that we can't go through it too, that we can't make it through to the other side. Those that were with Jesus then knew it was possible. They did it. We can do it too. This is what it takes to have Christian persistence. It takes understanding the possibilities. It takes remembering others who have gone before. I remember this from my childhood. My grandfather was not a Christian, never claimed to be. He claimed to believe in God, but I think he had to because he was a Mason, and Masons have to believe in God of some kind. But he didn't believe in the virgin birth. He didn't believe in the churches. He didn't believe in the Church of Christ even. He stated so openly. But he taught me some things because he had been through some things. He had been through the Great Depression, and he was one of those few people who always had a job. Why? Because he always worked harder than everybody else. He would come to town and say, somebody's going to lose their job because Ted's here. Somebody, he outworks everybody. He was just that kind of person. And he taught me from his experience that you don't know what you can do until you have to. I would say, Grandpa, I don't know if I can do that. You don't know what you can do until you have to. And he would say something else like, why don't you use your head for more than a hat rack? Things like that. But this is the one I want to pass on to you. You don't know what you can do until you have to. I was with him on a job one time, and he was the scale man. We sold crushed limestone out of a pit in South Austin. And there was one individual who had a little bit of credit with Dean Word Company that I worked for, and he abused it. Grandpa said, I want you to go get a check from him. You just have to get the check. He didn't even have to do anything but sign it. Just get the check and we'll be okay. Grandpa, I don't think I can do that. Well, that's your job. That's what you've got to do. And I went and sat where that job was, and I waited on that man until he gave me a check. He knew what I was there for. And I learned that I could do something like that. I was a shy young man, and I didn't think that I could do that. But Grandpa showed me I could. You know where my grandpa got that? He was in that Pacific War. I'm sure you've heard of it. World War Number 2. Out there in the Pacific, he was on a destroyer escort called the Rathburn. USS Rathburn. It's not the only ship that he was on, but that's the one he was on when the fleet was at Okinawa. You know, there was a great battle at Okinawa, and that's where the last waves of kamikazes came and tried to wipe out the fleet, tried to stop them before they got to the home islands. And so there was a kamikaze that hit the ship at the bow line. You know that bow line? It's where the let me illustrate it since I've got it here. Right at the waterline and right through the ship, the plane went. Right through it, and you would have thought the thing would have exploded, but it did not explode. And so there was this big gaping hole there in the front of the ship, both sides. And the captain, first officer, said, you're volunteers. You go down there and you plug that hole. And they sealed them in, closed those doors. And if you don't fix it, you're going to drown. You're going to die. Of course, if they didn't, the rest of the ship was going down too. So it was, we're counting on you. And so Grandpa goes down with the other men, and they start building things to stop up those holes. Grandpa told me one time, you will never believe how fast you can saw a 4x4 when the water's rising. You don't know what you can do until you have to. That's what he taught me. That's what I want to pass on to you. You look at some of the big jobs that we have to do, and you say, I can't do that. Did you know that I failed speech in school? Junior high, first F I ever got, public speaking. So scared, I couldn't get any words out. I just couldn't do anything. In fact, in my senior English class, the teacher wanted weekly book reports. She wanted them orally. She wanted them in the form of getting up and talking to people about what you've read. But she said, if you want to turn them in, you can take 10 points off and turn them in written. I turned them all in written, just every one of them. I never thought I'd be able to stand up before you like this as a young man, but some people convinced me that I could. Convinced me that I had the responsibility because I could study the Bible like some others could not. That I had a voice to say what the gospel says. You don't know what you can do until you have to. And so I did. It was tough that first time standing before that congregation. I had my speech all planned out. It was going to be 25 minutes. I was talking so fast, it was done in 12. I was racing through that thing. My mouth was dry and my heart rate was accelerated. I just couldn't slow down. It was a hideous thing. You don't know what you can do until you have to. Persistence is what gets it done. I would rather someone be persistent at something than to be just a true genius and quit. There's plenty of those. Plenty of those that hang around college campuses all the time. People with PhDs that are janitors and things like that because they gave up on what they were supposed to be doing. This evening, it may be you that needs to show some persistence in your life, needs to show that you want more than what you have in the Christian life now, that you can take some punishment with regard to persecution. The people that are laughing at you can just keep on laughing. The people that you might meet that might ridicule you can just go ahead and ridicule you. You're going to live like you ought to live. You may be in a situation where it's not popular to be a Christian. I used to be on a college campus quite a bit, and there are particular classes on college campuses, some of which can tolerate Christian belief and some of which cannot. If you were to state your Christian beliefs, you're going to have problems with keeping your job. They would call it hate speech and things like that. But you persist. You persevere. You keep on going. You be wise in the things that you say, yes, but you keep your faith. You don't bow. You don't bend. You keep persistence. Persist in the things that you do when you're right. If you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, let your conviction tell you what to do. You may be afraid to walk down the aisle. You may be afraid that someone's going to titter at you or someone's going to learn about it and you're going to be ridiculed a bit. Forget that. Forget those that would do those kinds of things to you. And look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He died for you. Put your eyes on Him. If you need to be baptized or if you need the prayers of the saints this evening, why don't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing. Your Lord.